Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
There is no God like our God. There is no one like him. There is no one that sits higher than him. No one who is stronger than him. No one who is more faithful than him. There is no God like our God, church. I want us to enter into a time of prayer. And what we're going to do for this prayer time is we're going to pray through scripture. And what I'd like to invite you to do is hold your neighbor's hand as we pray through this. As Ryan said earlier today, we are a community of believers together. We are a community of believers that come together to declare his glory, to declare his praise. So we're gonna read through this scripture and pray through it as we read it all together now. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed a God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are entirely faithful. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Amen and amen, amen and amen.
Well, we're calling this a Nehemiah 1-4 prayer gathering. If you remember, as we've been looking at Nehemiah, that when Nehemiah heard that the walls in Jerusalem had been torn down, that he began to weep and he began to fast and he began to pray. And for 4 months, he prayed and fasted that God would open up an opportunity for him to go and talk to the king and begin rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And we're looking at just Nehemiah 1 very quickly, Nehemiah chapter 1. Verse 4 says this, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted, prayed to the Son of Heaven, to the God of Heaven. So like I mentioned a few weeks ago, as you walk with God and you live in this world, there are things in this world that are going to break your heart. There are things that are going to make you literally weep as you think about them. Notice what he does in verse 5. He says, then I said, this is a prayer, O Lord, God of Heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. So first he spends time acknowledging. He gives God praise like we've done. He praises God for who he is. But then notice this. He says in verse 6, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. And so here's what happens, that when we are in God's holy presence and we are praying, the natural temptation is to go straight into asking God for stuff, right? Amen? Right? And it's often we even skip the praise part. We jump right into just asking God for stuff. God, give me this. God, I'm praying for this. Praying for this. And so here we see that pattern of prayer, like I mentioned, and it's on your notes, to praise, repent, ask, and yield. The very similar pattern found in Daniel chapter 9. You don't need to turn there, where Daniel sees the fact that God's people are now exiles, and so he spends time first praising God, repenting on behalf of his sin and the sin of God's people. Then he begins to ask, and then finally he yields. So what I want to do during this time is this, to spend a time of repentance. We see that whenever God's people are in his presence, in Isaiah 6, when Peter is in Christ's presence, it reveals our sin. And what we should do, rather than making excuses or justifying it, is to be sorry over our sin and to turn from them. That's what the word repentance means. The Hebrew word is sub, S-U-B, and the Greek word is metanoia, and they have a dual emphasis, and one means to change your mind. Change your mind about something. So you may say, you know what, this sin, this pride, this self-righteousness, this racism, like you may have excuses for and reasons for, but metanoia means now I've changed my mind. I recognize that those things are a violation of God's standard, His word. But then also to be sorry over those things as well, to have that divine sorrow that comes with that as well. And that's what the word sub and metanoia represent, the dual nature of both a change of mind that leads to a change of direction, but also to be sorry, to grieve over your sin. Here's the thing, in order to turn back to God, we must first turn away from our sin. When God shows us our sin, which He does, He's perfect, what we have to do before we ask and before we can turn to Him is we must turn away, again, metanoia, change our mind about our sin and turn to Him. Quick question, how many of y'all have ever had a friend, a coworker, a family member that has hurt or offended you, and they are unwilling to acknowledge the fact that they hurt and offended you? Anybody have someone like that? And have you ever had this, where this person has hurt or offended you, coworker, friend, family member, and they are willing to be comfortable allowing that elephant to remain in the room, right? Have y'all ever had that before? They act like nothing's happened. Y'all have that before? Raise your hand if you've had that happen before, right? If that person's sitting next to you, just nudge them real quick, saying he's talking about you. And let alone this, they've done something to offend you or hurt you, family member, friend, coworker, even a church member. And then they act like nothing happened, and they have the nerve now to come to you and ask you for something. Have you ever had that before? Hey, can I borrow $50? Can I ask you, can you help me with this, whatever? And this is what happens, right? You have to say first, you know what, before we get to that, let's reconcile, right? There's some things between us that we need to acknowledge. Are y'all with me? Now think about this. If that happens to you, is anyone here who's perfect, like absolutely morally, spiritually perfect? Any perfect people in here? Nobody, right? If that happens to you as an imperfect, fallen person, imagine how often that happens to God, holy God, perfect God, where we've done stuff to offend Him, hurt Him, violate, and be unfaithful to Him. And rather than acknowledging God, we repent, we confess, we jump straight into asking for stuff. Are y'all with me? And here's the thing, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the very moment you are forgiven for every single sin you will ever commit, every sin in the past, present, you were forgiven. So you're saying, why do I need to confess and repent? Why do I need to do that? It's to restore the relationship. Y'all with me? 1 John is a book all about our relationship, our fellowship with God. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sin to restore that friendship with God, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us, to wash us from all unrighteousness. So what I want to do this, if you're able to now, I'm going to ask the entire congregation, if you're able to get on your knees, we're going to go to God on our knees in a posture of brokenness and repentance. And we're going to first repent, number one, for our own personal sins, all right? Our own personal sins. Just like Nehemiah did, he says, you know what, God, I recognize that I've sinned. But then we're also going to pray and ask God to forgive us for the sins of our family. And so you say, God, I know, and I, you know, like Job did the same thing, and Daniel did the same thing, to pray on behalf of your family and community. And then lastly, on behalf of the people of God. Anybody here know that the church, Christ Church, the body of Christ has been less than perfect? Amen? We've been less than perfect, right? But here's what we don't do. So rarely do we as a people repent and confess our sins to God. James 5:16 even says it this way. James 5:16 adds to 1 John 1:9 and says, not only should we repent and confess, and Job even said he repented and he threw dust and ashes on himself to show that he was broken, but James 5:16 says we should also confess our sins to one another. So if there's people that you have offended, like the example I gave, for all the people that act like they've done nothing to hurt you, you've offended some people. He says you can even take it a step further to confess to God your personal sin, your family sin, and your community sin, but also to go before people as well. So what I want to do, For the next 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes, just get on our knees. And if you would all just, number one, pray for your, and if you're able to get on your knees. I know some of you aren't able to, but if you're there, if you just sit, pray for your own personal sins, sins of your family, then sins of your community. And in about 5 or 10 minutes or so, I'll pray us together. Master, we kneel before you now, the physical demonstration of our humility, brokenness before you, God. God, we do turn from our sin, change our minds. We don't justify it, excuse it, change our minds, change our attitude about our sin. God, we are broken and sorry for our sin, great remorse. God, we know that in order to forgive us, it came at a very, very high cost to you, that you sent your only begotten Son. But God, we're grateful. God, I pray now specifically, forgive me, God, for self-righteousness, pride. God, forgive my family for the same as well. Forgive us for our lack of love for one another. God, I pray for this community, the body of Christ, for City of Refuge. God, pray that you forgive us, God, for our lack of love for another. God, you've given us a very simple yet impossible command to love you and to love our neighbor. God, we depend on you and ask you to forgive us for that. God, forgive us for not genuinely loving each other. Speak the truth. Take that risk. God, forgive us for looking down on others. And God, for the church in America, God, we pray that you forgive Christian Church in America, God, for its support and involvement in slavery, for its lack of love, God, for his lack of love towards the immigrant foreigner. God, you've told us clearly in your word, be hospitable to one another. Very simple word, love for the alien, love for the stranger. God, forgive us for jumping in bed with political parties, seeking and hungering for power. God, you've already told us that all power has been given to us. God, forgive us for our lack of faithfulness to you. Forgive us for exercising worldly wisdom from below rather than the wisdom from above, God. God, forgive us for becoming so culturally relevant that we have become biblically unfaithful. God, our desire to be loved by the world and pleasing to the world has trumped our desire to love you and to walk in your love. God, forgive us. God, I pray for the church worldwide as well. God, that your love would span and cross nations and borders, cultures and ethnicities, tribes and language, that we truly would be one body. The denominational lines wouldn't divide us. God, forgive us, we pray. We're allowing all those divisions to break up the body. God, we're so grateful for the Holy Spirit unites us. We're thankful for the truth of your word. God, you have not left us in the dark. You've given us your spirit and your word. Master, we're grateful. Forgive us for those times that we have strayed from your word on a daily basis, weekly, even decades. God, forgive us. So, God, we cry out to you, desperate and in need of you. Thank you that you have offered Jesus Christ, that in him we've been forgiven for all sins, past, present, and future. Thank you that you separate us from our sins as far as east is from the west. Thank you, God, for that. Ask all this in Christ's name. God's people said, y'all may be seated. Well, now we've praised God and now we've repented. And I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to come on up and he's going to lead us in our time of asking from God.
Through our study of Nehemiah, Pastor Icky has been stepping us through the calling that was on Nehemiah's life to the work of rebuilding Jerusalem. And first thing that happened was God broke his heart for the state of Jerusalem, the state of its people. And in the midst of that, Pastor Icky asked for you all to give consideration to what is it that breaks your heart? What is it when you look out into the world, into our culture, into your workplace, into your neighborhoods, what is it that breaks your heart? Where is God putting that burden on you? But what we see is that Nehemiah earnestly pursued God in prayer and response, and that a big part of that prayer was asking for what he needed in order to live into the calling that God had given him. Because he was given quite the task, right? Nehemiah had to go somehow from being a cupbearer in Susa as a part of a captive people to have the freedom, the authority, the materials, and the manpower to somehow get to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall there. Right? That was a problem that needed God's intervention. And I know for some of us, when we have these burdens in our heart, when we look at the things of the world that break our hearts, there can be this sense of, I don't even know where to start. And we could make something up to ask God for, but at the end of the day, we want to be praying not just good prayers. We want to be praying in accordance with what God's will is. And I think in those moments where I don't know what to pray, I don't know where to start, I don't know how to begin, I take comfort in the words of Romans 8:26, where it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So there's this sense of this comfort that even in those moments where we don't know what to pray, we know that the Holy Spirit is there interceding on our behalf and helping articulate the things that we don't even know how to pray for and what to pray for. But I think there's also a part of that where this Holy Spirit helps us, and that praying in the Spirit means also listening and knowing how we should pray. And so I want to spend a couple minutes doing that first, to just quietly be asking God if, for whatever that thing is that he has burdened your heart for, how would he have you pray for it? How would he have you start with it? We're going to take 2 to 3 minutes of just quiet of asking God that question. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your direction. We ask for you to show us how to pray. These things that you have put on our hearts and our minds to seek you for. Amen. So I want to invite you now into a style of prayer that I have heard referred to as Korean. I don't know if that's the actual country of origin for this style, but in this style of prayer, we are going to all pray out loud together. So at the same time, whatever it is that God has put on your heart, we are going to all cry out to God together for whatever he has put on your heart to pray for. I know this may be a little bit unfamiliar and uncomfortable. We're going to be trying, for some of you, stepping into something new. So I invite you to that. Don't worry about what your neighbor is saying. Just focus your attention on God and cry out to him. I think there's something really valuable about taking these things that God has put on our heart and articulating them, trying to put them into words. So let's take a moment and begin praying. Father, when I hear all of these voices crying out to you, I am reminded of just how mighty and magnificent you are, that you can hear all of these things and know exactly what to do with them, that you are so far beyond us in terms of what you are capable of. So, Lord, we cry out to you for these things that you have burdened us with, God, asking for your intervention, asking for your help, Lord. I pray that you would provide us for what we need to move forward, whether that is material things or courage or understanding or direction, God, whatever that thing is, I pray that you would provide that. Not for our glory, not for our might, but for the sake of your glory and the sake of your kingdom, that your word may be proclaimed. All these things we ask of you in your precious and holy name, knowing that you are able to do far more than we could ever ask. Amen.
Well, can we be honest? How many of y'all have ever prayed like me, already with the expected how you want God to answer that prayer in mind? Anybody ever pray that way? Right, we've already prayed, this is the job I want, this is what I want to happen, the expected outcome, and you know, honestly, even the timing, right, we want it by next week or next Monday, right? But look at what he says in verse 10, Nehemiah 1:10. The people you rescued